Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Satin Creditcare Network Limited Q3 and 9-month FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aman Mehta from Dolat Capital Markets Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rudra. On behalf of Dolat Capital, I welcome all the participants on the call and thank the management of Satin Creditcare Network Limited for the opportunity to host this call. For today's call, I have with me the members of the management and leadership team. This includes Dr. H.P. Singh, Chairman cum MD, Mr. Jugal Kataria, Group Controller, and Ms. Aditi Singh, Chief Strategy Officer. And with this, I now hand over the conference to Dr. H.P. Singh, Chairman cum MD, to preside over the call. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for joining us to discuss our performance for Q3 and 9 months of financial year 2025-26. I trust you had the opportunity to review our financial results and investor presentation, and in case you haven't, you can find them on our website and the stock exchanges. While summarizing our performance not just for the last quarter but for the past 35 years, one thing is consistent: that our focus has always been on long-term value creation, balancing growth with responsibility, and ambition with discipline. Inclusion for us is not merely a concept; it's a conviction. It guides every decision we take. Our progress has been shaped by thoughtful product diversification, a strong understanding of rural and semi-urban markets, and the application of robust process-led technology to serve customers efficiently and responsibly at scale. This approach has enabled us to deliver stable and consistent performance even in a challenging operating environment. We are very focused on data-led analytics backed by technology and processes, which leads to our distinguished performance. I am particularly proud to share that we have delivered the 18th profitable quarter in a row. Our credit cost for the last 6 years has been amongst the lowest at 3.3% and ROA amongst the highest at 2.1% on a standalone basis. We have grown despite a sector-wide degrowth in current industry headwinds. This is a testament to our prudent underwriting, strong governance, and deep-rooted presence in our core markets. Our subsidiaries reflect our intentional strategy of diversification, each created to address real and evolving needs. From enabling access to affordable micro-housing to supporting the missing middle through financing sustainable and emerging businesses, where traditional credit systems fall short, our portfolio is designed to complement and strengthen our core lending franchise. Technology remains a key enabler of our growth. Our investments in technology and internal capabilities have enhanced efficiency, improved risk management, and strengthened controls. This foundation gave us the confidence to extend our technological offerings beyond the group, leading to the creation of Satin Technologies Limited. This month, Satin Technologies acquired 51% stake in Katrino Labs, a deep tech cybersecurity company focused on post-quantum cryptography. This strategic step reinforces our belief that foresight, preparedness, and innovation are essential to building a future-ready institution. A very proud moment for Satin Creditcare Network Limited was achieving a score of 59 in our first ever S&P Global Corporate Sustainability Assessment, CSA. Our performance was driven by strong human capital management, business ethics, and risk and crisis management practices. This recognition further strengthens our position as a credible and responsible participant in India's sustainable finance ecosystem. In a country with over a billion aspirations, inclusion cannot be uniform. It must be thoughtful, compassionate, and courageous. This belief defines the Satin Group and continues to guide us as we work towards sustainable growth and shared prosperity. Coming to the performance of SCNL, we continue to demonstrate strength where it matters most: consistency, resilience, and value creation. We have delivered growth of 7% year-on-year, reaching an AUM of 11,482 crores. We raised 7,151 crores during 9 months FY26 and added 363 branches. No clients having more than 3 loans, reflecting healthy credit discipline. We have also introduced natural calamity insurance and credit guarantee fund for micro units, CGMFU, to further de-risk our portfolio. Our capital adequacy has consistently remained well above regulatory requirements, staying about 25% over the last 27 quarters, providing ample headroom for growth and innovation. Equally important is the strength of our leadership. Our CXO team has an average tenure of nearly 10 plus years, ensuring continuity, stability, and a long-term strategic vision in an industry where leadership churn is common. Speaking about our commitment to compliance and good governance, I'm happy to share that there are zero incremental provisions on account of labor codes. On a consolidated basis, our AUM grew by 10% year-on-year to Indian rupees 13,341 crores. Disbursement momentum remains steady with 8,094 crores disbursed in 9 months FY26 on a consolidated basis, up 7% year-on-year, and 7,382 crores on a standalone basis, representing a 6% year-on-year growth. Our distribution network continues to expand thoughtfully. On a consolidated basis, we now operate through 1,987 branches covering 558 districts across 26 states and 5 union territories. On a consolidated basis, branch count increased by 452 since Q3 FY25. This extensive geographic presence strengthens our ability to serve economically underserved and remote markets. As of the quarter end, our consolidated client base stood at 32.7 lakhs. On asset quality and risk management, as of Q3 FY26, PAR 90 levels improved to 3.3% at 287 crores on standalone basis, reflecting stability and disciplined credit management. This consistency underscores strong client engagement and robust field-level execution. We held on-book provisions of 272 crores, representing 3.2% of the on-book portfolio, well above RBI requirements of 141 crores. This also includes a management overlay of 12 crores. For Q3 FY25-26, revenue stood at 753 crores, reflecting 10% YOY growth on a consolidated basis. Net interest margin was 14.25% on a consolidated basis and 14.71% standalone. Operating expense ratio stood at 7.35% consolidated and 7.23% standalone. Loan loss ratio on a standalone basis was 4.23%. On a consolidated basis, ROA and ROE stood at 2.22% and 10.82% respectively. Standalone ROA and ROE stood at 2.33% and 9.57%. PAT for the quarter stood at 72 crores at consolidated level, up by 404% YOY. On liquidity and capital position, CRAR stood at 24.64%. Liquidity position remains strong with 2,283 crores of balance sheet liquidity and 2,206 crores of undrawn sanctions standalone. For FY25-26, we continue to target an improvement in credit costs as compared to FY24-25, which was 4.6%, supported by tighter underwriting, improved collection, and deeper customer engagement. On the industry outlook, we remain confident in the long-term potential of the rural financial services sector. With a large portion of India's population still outside formal credit systems, the need for responsible small-ticket financing remains strong. While the sector is navigating a transitionary phase, we believe the steps being taken today will result in a more resilient, sustainable and profitable cycle ahead. The rural economy is resilient and a good monsoon led to bumper harvest, thus elevating the income level. We also see a rise in aspiration spends in rural economy, and digital India is creating a scope for more product innovation. On the subsidiary performance, Satin Housing Finance Limited, AUM has touched 1,101 crores. YOY growth is 26.3% and CRAR of 61.96%. Satin FinServ is 759 crores, YOY growth of 58.4% and CRAR of 36.12%. Satin Growth Alternatives Limited has applied for license with SEBI and we are awaiting the same. It is going to be one of its kind AIF Category 2 fund, which is women-led and shall focus on women-led and green MSME. On governance, SHG and recognition, our SHG ESG focus continues through carbon footprint assessment and targeted emission reduction initiatives. Following our materiality assessment, we continue to focus on 21 material topics critical to long-term sustainability. We are proud to share recognition received during the year, including Elaven Award, Best Women Friendly Institution 2025, Watson Financing Award and Brand Wagon Award for Excellence in BFSI Sector Campaign, reflecting our commitment to excellence, innovation and inclusion. Thank you once again for joining us today and for your continued trust and support. As we move forward, we remain committed to building a stronger, more inclusive, and purpose-driven organization. We are confident that we shall continue to outperform. With this, I would like to now open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Prabhu Sharma from Yash Investment LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah. Good morning, Mr. Singh and all the Satin team, and congratulations for a good set of numbers.
I interrupt, sir, but you're not sounding clear.
Thanks, sir.
Hello. Hello.
Yes.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Singh.
It's a bit better. Good morning.
Yeah. Congratulations, good set numbers. I have a couple of questions. Sir, we have observed the Satin maintaining relatively high liquidity on the balance sheet. Could the management please elaborate on the rationale behind this strategy? While high liquidity always generates negative ROA, will you keep such high liquidity going ahead also? My first question.
Let me answer the first question and then I'll probably go to the second question, you know.
Yeah.
I think, you know, this was kind of deliberate that we kept high liquidity because I think because of the headwinds in the industry, liquidity was kind of very, very challenging for a lot of players, you know. So we thought that it is very prudent during these times to keep high liquidity. But this is not going to be the norm for the future. We'll definitely bring it down once the situation eases, and it is easing now. For the entire sector, it wasn't a problem for us, but I think, you know, we were a little conservative in keeping the excess liquidity.
And just to add, you know, this is the quarter end number. On an average, we keep about 1,500-1,600 crore of liquidity, which is broadly, you know, 45 days of disbursement. But quarter end numbers are slightly elevated because we get a lot of funding towards the quarter end.
Okay. My second question is, what factor has Satin to reduce cost of borrowing almost 200 basis points down on quarter-on-quarter basis? Our gross yield also reduced in same manner. Maybe more the reason? Is it a lower cost of borrowing passed to customer or anything else? And also, I have another one question after that.
Yeah, so for us, you know, I think, you know, because of the repo rate going down, I think we were able to manage, you know, because of our, again, good portfolio quality and profitability, we were able to manage to get our cost of funds down from where we were. But having said that, I think, you know, for us, you know, I think, you know, looking at the future, you know, we feel that if there is any more repo rate going down, I think we will probably now, since we have a very stable NIM, we would probably like to pass on maybe, you know, any decrease in cost of fund to our ultimate borrower. That is what we feel that we can do because we've got a very healthy and a stable NIM which is there.
So, surprising to see.
Mr. Sharma, so one clarity, when you are saying it has reduced by 200 bps, you are actually looking at the yield curve or the DuPont analysis. One thing I would like to again bring to your notice is that we had actually given out the commentary last quarter that due to MTM gains and the corresponding forex expenses, both yield and the cost of borrowing were inflated last quarter. If you want the absolute number, the yield was increased by 83 crore due to MTM gains and the cost of borrowing increased by 74 odd crore. So QOQ, if you see, you will find a big variation. So yes, the cost of borrowing has come down, but not by 200 bps. The NIM, if you, I will just highlight the NIM to you. If you see the NIM from last quarter to now, it is more or less the same or stable. Yeah, now you can ask the third question, please.
Okay. Understood. Any outlook for cost to income ratio for quarter four, ROA growth guidance for quarter four and next year? And may I know the reason for negligible ROA, ROE for subsidiary like Satin Housing and Satin Finserv? And recently your board approved right issue about right issue. So put some light on the right issue also.
So Mr. Sharma, I think you know what we've been able to do, our focus is towards subsidiaries also, but these bases are very small and I think you know they would have lower ROAs right now in the initial phases because they are in an expansion mode. They are opening branches and I think, you know, for us it is more to look at, if you look at the percentage of increase over there, you know, it's about 40-50%, you know, year on year. So I think, you know, it's a low base, but we've crossed the first milestone in housing, that we've crossed about 1,000 crore, and I think we'll be probably crossing our first milestone for FinServ also, you know, by crossing 1,000 crores pretty soon. On our guidance, you know, I think, you know, we're very clear that, you know, for us, we had stated that we will bring down our credit cost from 4.6%, which was for the last year, down from there. We already have achieved 9 months by 4.52. There's a slight dip over there. But if you look at the quarter, I think, you know, for us, the credit cost is 4.23%. Now, having said that, our whole endeavor is to end the year probably at around 4%. Which will be 50 basis point down from, you know, what was there last year. And we are very hopeful that we'll be able to achieve that. And that is what, you know, our guidance probably remains for the end there, you know.
And what about right issue? What about right issue announced?
Right issue, subsidiary in invest ke liye.
So are you talking about investment in SAT and FinServ?
Yeah, that was the right issue. We put in capital.
So we have put in 50 crore of capital in SAT and FinServ because growing fast, since it is a wholly owned subsidiary, it is being done through the rights way. The same we have done in January in Saturn Technology also, because that is also a wholly owned subsidiary. So we are investing money in the subsidiary through right issue basis.
So it was not for
Saturn. Hope this clarifies.
It is not for entire SCL.
No. This is for the subsidiary, because we are the 100% shareholder for wholly owned subsidiary. It's a wholly owned subsidiary. That's right.
Yes. And sir, last cost to income ratio, what will be the guidance for the quarter four and entire next year?
No guidance. I think, you know, we are looking at ROA to be very specific, and I think, you know, that will cover probably our cost to income ratios also. So, you know, hopefully we want to increase our ROA. It has started increasing. I think, you know, you'll see maybe results in that, and then, you know, correspondingly in the cost to income ratios also.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks. Best of luck on the entire team.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. Our next question is from the line of Rohitash Arora, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sir, what percentage of our AUM is currently under CGFMU scheme? This is my first question.
Right now it's not there. We just got our approval for the CGFMU scheme. We are also now waiting for the credit guarantee scheme, which probably would be there. You know, so we're just waiting for that. Once we have clarity on what is there, I think, you know, then we'll start, you know, working on that in our AU. Right now it's NatCat insurance, which is there for all our borrowers, you know.
And sir, is our current situation comfortable? Means we can accelerate for high disbursals.
We given we said that we will grow by 10-15%. I think, you know, we remain steadfast on that. We've already grown 10% YOY in the last quarter. If you look at it, I think, you know, we are on course to do that.
But we have increased our branch at a very high pace. So that can result in.
No, that's how growth happens, you know.
Yes. But existing branches can also disburse loan as the industry was on slowdown last year.
So the already existing branches are already doing that, but we wanted to add more branches, you know, basically, and that is how, you know, we are looking at growth to probably come in. You know.
And our credit cost is expected to decrease in Q4 of FY26.
Absolutely.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants are requested to press star and 1 to ask a question.
Hello?
Our next question is from the line of Ankur Kumar. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Sir, in terms of.
Thank you.
As things seem to be improving in the MFI industry, what is your thoughts on the same? And given things seem to be improving, what is the guidance on AUM for next year and on the credit cost for next year, sir?
So, I think we've still not issued our guidance for the next year, but I have said overall we are looking at 10%-15% growth in terms of our AUM. In terms of credit cost, we said that we'll bring it down this year. We've already started bringing it down. Going forward, there's absolutely no guidance, but one thing which we can probably tell you, the credit cost will start going down further ahead from where we are. And that is what it is. And if you look at the industry, I think the industry is also now coming back on its feet. I think the headwinds are practically over. You can see green shoots now coming in. I think overall it bodes well for the industry as well as for us.
But sir, given in the past we were going at much faster rate, why do we want to grow at only 10%-15% for the next year, sir?
We want to have a very cautious growth. That's one. The second reason is we are growing our subsidiaries pretty strongly. That's another reason. So for us, our hands are completely full by looking at all these categories and the asset classes which we are building up. So for us, I think at a 10%-15% growth in the microfinance space is probably very cautious and very good. We want to acquire premium customers. We want to acquire our underwriting should not probably be should be amongst the best. We want to maintain a very robust asset quality. So growth with essence of higher profitability, underwriting, and asset quality probably is what our forte is, and that is what we are probably achieving for.
So this 10%-15% is the MFI growth assumption or like full company growth in terms of?
MFI. Just the MFI. Just the MFI. I told you the base for the subsidiaries are small. They've grown by about 40%-50%. They will continue to grow by that same percentage numbers over there.
Got it, sir. And sir, on ROA or ROE, any estimate for next year would you like to give?
General, this thing will be better than what we are right now.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Amit Mamodia from Ganpati. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking up my question.
Thank you.
Actually, my question was earlier asked, but if you can provide me the timeline when we will be able to put claims under this CGFMU?
I think we are still waiting for the guarantee scheme to come in from the government. I think it is anytime soon. The moment it comes in, we look at the broad parameters and the terms to how do we really look at it. But I think what we've done in our first instance, we've actually taken this climate insurance, which is natural calamity insurance, that probably gives us maybe a little bit of cover in terms of natural calamities, which we normally suffer from monsoon and floods and everything. So that we've taken our first cover. But I think we're just waiting for the scheme to come in. The moment it comes in, I think it will probably be added on to how we look at the AUM.
First quarter, can we expect in this upcoming new year?
Hopefully. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Hopefully. Depends on when it comes, when the government announces it. I think it'll just take us a very short time to probably understand that and then put and enforce it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Once again, congratulations for a good set of numbers.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ritika Behera from Bandhan AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, thank you for the opportunity and very good set of results. So broadly, just two questions. One is that while you have already infused capital, can you just maybe clarify, would any other subsidiary would need further, or are we good on the other subsidiaries front, or considering that we're growing?
See, we go according to how they are growing. I think that is probably one of the benchmarks where you do it. And they're still right now very highly capitalized. whenever we require, I think, you know, we still have sufficient buffer in terms of capital, internal accruals in the parent company that we are able to infuse it. Right now, it remains range bound within that scope, you know. But if we feel that there is a requirement in terms of the way we did an acquisition, it was a small acquisition we did, but with a lot of white space valuation in terms of, you know, looking at the future. I think, you know, for us, we will only take it when we feel that, you know, we do not have, or we are probably, you know, we require to raise, you know, more capital at that point of time. Right now, I think we were fully geared up to, you know, do whatever we have to do in terms of our capital buffers, you know.
Sure. So, secondly, on the liability side, what is our dependence today on maybe overseas?
Overseas has now increased to about 15%. In the overall matrix of so 70% is you know, banks, and about 15% is overseas, and I think about 7-odd percent, you know, if I remember correctly, is about DFIs, you know, which is there. So if we club both of them together, it's about 22%, which is foreign money. And we you know, to be very honest with you, we're getting a very big traction in terms of foreign money, which is coming in, you know. In fact, you know, we just attended a conference, you know, and there's been a lot of valuable insights coming in for at least our company, you know, over there, you know, and we'll be going forward with that. You know. So we have lesser dependency now on domestic, you know, funds as was earlier.
No, so that's great to know. Just also, maybe, sir, if you could also help understand that today, on a obviously on all this 22 would be fully hedged.
Yes, everything is fully hedged.
Huh. And sir, on a fully hedged basis. Sure. So, sir, on a fully hedged basis, everything, what is the cost differential today between the domestic and the foreign?
We look at the overall IRR. It comes basically around the same where, you know, we are raising domestic funds. In fact, you know, I think maybe a couple of, you know, we got slightly lower than one domestic. All put together, the hedging, the cost, as well as, you know, everything put together. It comes on that, you know.
But this could be a little more, I think, sticky in terms of they are largely long-term in nature, as in the average maturity here would be? They're long-term, which is good.
Average maturity is normally about 3.5 years. But we're getting some funds which are 4 years and 5 years, you know.
Sure. And so just last question, while very initial days, but I think one or two of the NBFCs, MFIs have been highlighting not a very big concern, but a very preliminary concern around, you know, the SIR issue. So especially in adjacent areas of West Bengal, have we faced any in terms of maybe, you know, any concerns there? So that's the last question.
There is, you know, I would like to put it on record, there is no concern as of now. And if you look at our state, you know, collection efficiencies, you know, which we've highlighted in the investor presentation, we have performed very well in every possible top state of ours, you know. But there's absolutely no concern right now in West Bengal also.
Great, sir. So good to know that. Thank you and best of luck.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ritika. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Chinmay Nema from Prescient Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just had a bookkeeping question. Could you please share the write-off numbers for 9 months FY23?
73 crores.
Write-off numbers are about 273 crores.
Got it. And could you also please share the thing for third quarter?
Sorry?
For the third quarter?
Third quarter, 160.
One sixty.
Got it.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Vaibhav Joshi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are, please.
Yeah, so my first question is, are some of the geographies are performing very well, like Assam, while others are kind of not performing that much? Any specific reasons for West Bengal and Bihar not performing well?
They are performing well. If you look at the collection efficiency numbers, they are pretty good, you know. But Assam, yes, is the outlier. You know, we have 100% over there. But if you look at Bihar, it's about 95.4%. Uttar Pradesh, 99%. If you look at West Bengal, which is about 94%. Punjab is there. So I think, you know, it is not something, you know, which probably will be static or maybe the same across in all the geographies. There will be a variation, but if you look at the overall collection efficiency, I think, you know, that probably sounds good, you know, which is at about 98%, you know. So over there, that's one of the things, you know, which you should look at. And the second, which is more important for us, is to look at the X bucket collection efficiency. That's 99.8%. So I think, you know, statewide, there could be variation and everything, you know, but they are fine, you know. And sometimes we really have to battle also legacy issues, you know, from the sector, from others, this thing across. So therefore, a particular state to probably not perform that very well. But I think, you know, overall, 98% and 99.8% is probably the figures to probably look forward to.
And my second question is, in terms of expansion, which are the geographies we are targeting to expand more? I mean, are there any focus geographies?
Yeah, so we are taking a conscious call now to, you know, when we opened up these 400 branches of ours, we took a conscious call of diving deep into the existing geographies. But we are also adding up Kerala, which was one state which was missing in our whole portfolio. I think we just hired a couple of people, you know, for Kerala. I think they'll be up and running maybe in the next couple of months, you know, it'll be up and running. But, you know, it's the same, you know, we want to expand into various geographies where we don't have a presence, plus also deep diving into the existing geographies as such.
And my last question is, would you like to give any credit cards guidance for FY27?
I said it'll be better than what we are right now. So if we end the year closer to 4, I think it'll be that, you know. I can't issue a guidance right now, basically, but definitely more closer to when we end the year. I mean, you're able to see that what we said, we performed that well. And we are there. I think that'll be the right time for us to issue a guidance.
Since PAR 1 has fallen quite drastically, don't you think 4% is a conservative guidance for this year?
See, it goes quarter by quarter. You know, we had first 6 months, you know, which was kind of difficult and challenging for the entire industry, but we were better off than the entire industry over there. So I think, you know, it's a follow-on which happens, you know, across over there. You'll see over there. It goes quarter by quarter.
Okay, thank you. All the best for the next quarter.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. This is Aditi Singh. So we have tried to take as many questions as we could, and we hope we were able to satisfy all your queries. Also, we have tried to give very elaborate details in our investor presentation. So that will give you a lot of insights, what even if you could not discuss something over this call. Still, if you want to discuss or clarify anything further, I encourage you to get in touch with the Valorem Advisors, who are our IR advisory agency. Or you can also reach out to me, aditi.singh@satincreditcare.com. I am the Chief Strategy Officer and will be happy to look at your query. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Dolat Capital Markets Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.